Whoa, what do I say about this one? This was one of these episodes that I'm very grateful that I get to do what I do. I've been following Joe from a distance for a long time. I actually picked up his first book when I was still working as a primary school teacher in London. So to be able to connect with him, and we were chatting a little bit off air. So I'm looking forward to setting up a workout for the two of us coming up hopefully soon in the near future. So I'm so happy to be able to finally connect and bring you this episode. Joe doesn't do many long form, nearly hour length episodes or engagements in general. So I hope you enjoyed a good inside look into the mindset of one of the most successful fitness entrepreneurs in the world at the minute. So this was a belter. Next week's episode is a pre-recorded episode, a Q&A, a solo Q&A, because I'm running through the Arctic Circle. So I pre-recorded next week's episode, and then after we'll be back to regular scheduled programming with some incredible guests. I've got some absolute belters coming up, so stay tuned for that. So if you haven't subscribed, make sure you're subscribed, and please pass on this episode if you enjoyed it. Make sure you tag Joe in the Instagram stories, and a massive thank you for listening. This one was one of my personal favorites. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Tell your friends, pass it on, tag it in your stories, and I'll catch you all next week. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm so excited to be joined today by my guest, Joe Wicks, aka The Body Coach. Joe is a best-selling author of 7 fitness and cookbooks. His first published cookbook, Lean in 15, 15-minute meals, was a best-selling book in 2015, having sold over 900,000 copies. And his new book, Veggie Lean in 15, 15-minute veggie meals with workouts, officially came out in December. Joe is a man on a mission to rescue people from the awful dieting industry. By his own admission, he is sick and tired of people struggling on low-calorie diets and meal replacement shakes. His books, TV shows, and social media platforms educate people and give them the knowledge they need to get a lean, healthy, strong body without going hungry. His 90-day SSS plan has already worked for over 100,000 people all over the world, and that plan is designed to help people transform their lives and the way they see nutrition forever. I'm so excited to talk all things health and fitness with somebody I've personally been following and have been inspired by for years. Joe, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Brian. What a lovely introduction, mate. Really, really kind words. And I'm glad to have, you've reached out through Instagram. This is the power of social media. And I thought, you know what, I'll take the time. I'll put an hour aside, and I'm really glad that we're going to connect and hopefully just spread the message of, health and fitness.
Yeah, I we're going to get into your message later on, Joe, because it's something that has been inspiring me, and I always try and push my people across to you because of the way that you deliver your content. But for everybody listening, can you tell them a little bit more about yourself?
So I originally started out as a personal trainer in Surrey in the UK, and I was doing sort of one-to-one personal training, and I had outdoor fitness, so boot camp called Rumble in the Park, which I loved. It was like a boxing for fitness kind of outdoor sessions in two parks, in two locations. And when I started that out, as I said, I've talked about it a lot on my social media, I would turn up to the park and sometimes there'd be nobody there, or there'd be one person there, and you just had to keep, grinding away. And I think a lot of people see my Instagram, my channels, and think, he just this overnight success, but it really is an 8-year journey that I've got to where I am today. And so I like sharing the story to inspire people, like young trainers out there or people starting up a business, that there will be times when it's really difficult and you're not getting clients and you're not getting traction, but you have to persevere. You've got to keep going back, and things will build if you really believe in yourself and you keep going.
Yeah, and I think I'm personally, as somebody that I'm very fortunate with, my platform is at a decent level, nowhere near yours, but I'm one of those people that you inspired. I was working full-time as a teacher when I came across your content first several years ago, so I'm living testament to that. What got you into fitness first then, Joe? What was your kind of background, your introduction into health and fitness in general?
Well, originally I actually wanted to become a PE teacher. That was my kind of, I had a clear vision from university. I studied sports science at St. Mary's in Twickenham, got my degree in sports science, and I thought I was going to just follow the normal path, go and do a year, a year in a school, get graduate training program, maybe going. And I worked as a teaching assistant for about 6 months, and I just realized I just wasn't cut out for it. I thought, this isn't what I'm truly passionate about. I think I don't want to commit to a career in this. So I thought, what is it I love? And I've always been enjoyed exercise. I've always been to the gym and always kept fit as a young teenager. So I thought, right, I'll just go and do my personal training qualification and start getting involved in that. And it was a really quick process because I did a 6-week premier training qualification. And after that, I went and worked in a gym. I actually worked in the gym for about 3 months before I went freelance myself. And so that was where it stemmed. I've always had a passion with like fitness and getting people moving. And I just feel like I'm good at motivating people that really don't enjoy exercise. I have a way of kind of just inspiring them and getting them moving and then helping them adopt that into their lifestyle.
Yeah, no, I agree that I think the HIIT approach and the not putting too much emphasis on calories overall and just focusing on nutrient dense foods is something that is a very low entry point to people, which is amazing because then they build on that. You mentioned there, I went to St. Mary's myself. That's actually where I did my teaching degree. And it's where I came across you first years ago at this stage. When did you start putting out content on Instagram then?
So I started on Instagram in 2014. With kind of like a few sort of recipe pictures. And then when they opened up video, that was when I really saw an opportunity to kind of share my personality a little bit more and get out there a bit more vocally and a bit silly and kind of, so sharing the recipes. And I had this idea in my flat. It was a 15-second video showing a healthy recipe that was going to take 15 minutes. And I called it Lean in 15. And that was just the start of an idea, like a really simple idea. And I always look back to that time and I think, why was I so motivated? Like, why was I doing it breakfast, lunch and dinner? Because there was no such thing as like, you know, there's no book deals and brand partnerships and, you know, DVD deals or TV. It's none of that. I was still doing boot camps and personal training. So I just had a genuine passion for like wanting to share recipes and I kind of enjoyed the feedback. And when I saw someone doing a recipe, it made me think, right, this is actually something people are responding to. And I just kept at it. I just churning them away, you know, breakfast, lunch and dinner every day. And it just built into this, you know, big, big following.
And one of the areas that you push quite a bit is that with the nutrition recipes is forget about calories as such. Now, I know this is something that you get quite a bit of criticism from some personal trainers. I, for one, love that approach, not because I don't believe calories are important. I do. But because it breaks down a lot of barriers when it comes to food and people's relationship with it. And one of my favorite things about your message is that you keep it very simple, like you said, and straightforward for people. Eat high quality, nutrient dense, whole food and move more. Example, HIIT workouts. What made you come up with that approach? Was that something that you were doing when you were working one-to-one as a trainer and saw that it helped, or was it a philosophy that you kind of evolved over time?
I just feel like, yeah, it's that, you know, the one criticism I normally get is the fact that, you know, I don't promote people counting calories, and it comes back to the, you know, to my own personal, you know, lifestyle and the way I live. I've never counted calories. I've never tracked macros. I don't know how many calories I eat, but I know that if I exercise regularly, if I make better food choices, if I'm cooking at home, you know, naturally I'm in a calorie deficit, I'm staying lean or whatever you want to call it. And there's just been a bit of a confusion because if you read my books, in the very first book, in the Lean in 15, the shift plan, the red one, I say, you know, everybody has different energy demands. And rather than looking at a meal and saying that's the perfect portion for me, I say, if it's too, you know, if you feel like you need more energy, increase the portions. If you feel like they're too big, decrease them, because people have to be flexible. And I just think it's hard enough in this day and age for people to actually exercise regularly and get in the kitchen cooking healthy food. So I think that's what you should focus on. People that want to count calories and track macros, that's fine, but it's adding another thing to the mix that is just a bit stressful for the average gym user, the average person. They just want to focus on cooking healthy food. And if you can overcome that, then just as a natural byproduct, you will get leaner and healthier.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's the beauty of your approach. It's one of the reasons that I love your message so much, is that when people think about calories, they can be kind of get analysis by paralysis or paralysis by analysis, because there's so much to think of. It's like, just focus on quality foods. And as you said, I have your first book here in front of me. It's literally like one of the first things you say. What's your about your own nutrition, Joe? How is that looking now? Because your schedule is crazy. I know you're on your Wean in 15 at 8 p.m. You've got a live directly after this. You know, you're coming and going from different places. What's your current nutrition look like yourself?
I'm still like, I really enjoy cooking at home. So I still eat out a couple of nights a week, and you have the odd treat, and I had a burger and stuff at the weekend. But I just really enjoy home cooked food. I love the energy it gives me. I like knowing what's in the meal. And so although I'm bouncing all over the shop, I'm still at home cooking at least one or two meals a day, because obviously that's part of my content as well. So the fact that I'll cook a recipe, I'll share it, it's all part of the kind of the content for my channels. But ultimately, you know, I'm flexible. Like, if I have a day where I'm really lazy and don't exercise, I won't eat as much, or I won't have an extra treat. But if I have a big workout or I'm really active in the day, I might say, you know, I'll have dessert tonight. So I maintain my body through more like lifestyle choices as opposed to tracking and understanding every single gram of food that I eat. And that for me is the nice way to live, because I can enjoy food. I ain't got to think about it. I don't get guilty around eating food. And that's the reason I think so many people follow me, because it's a simple message that anyone can adopt. And, you know, I'm not someone who is saying you've got to do it right either way. It's like, just find what works for you and make it fit into your lifestyle.
You mentioned guilt around food there, and I think that's very important to kind of pull out, because there's a lot of people listening to this podcast that have that same issue, even though we know we shouldn't be guilty around food. What would you say to those people that aren't 100% sure when they're eating certain foods and they get this guilt that they feel after? What approach do you tell people to use when it comes to guilt and food and their relationship with it?
I think if you're someone who really loves your food, I think, you know, doing a really, really low calorie diet or cutting out carbs, you know, no fats and low fat diets, it's just extreme. You need to allow yourself the food you love. And, you know, if there's a day where you have a blowout and you've had, you know, emotionally eat and you go for a kebab or a curry and you feel a bit crap after, just like, it's fine. You know, we all do it. Everyone does that. Everyone has blowouts. And, you know, it's just about not letting that drag into the week and become months and just moving on from it, really. But I always say, the reason I exercise and eat well is because I want energy. And for me, like when I eat, if I do have a rough day of eating, and whether it's, you know, ice cream or fizzy drinks and, you know, energy bars and what, I do feel really knackered. And so that's kind of a reminder for me, like why I want to cook food and why I stay on a healthy lifestyle. So try and tune into that, tune into the important things, as opposed to feeling guilty and thinking that you've ruined your plan and it's all over and you've got to go back to the beginning, because it's just a constant journey. It's fat loss is like a, you know, it's an up and down thing. It's never going to be linear. So I always say, you know, fat loss is a journey, not a race. You just need to be patient with it.
Yeah, I think, and that moderation and not beating yourself up, like your relationship with yourself and your relationship with your food is so important. You mentioned there about being knackered and staying on top of your nutrition. Something that I follow your content, I have your books, and something I'm always curious about from your site, your sleep. And I know I'm going to get into your daughter Indy later and how things have changed, but how are you as a sleeper generally? Because you do so much. It's something that always comes to my mind. Man, how is he recovering and getting his things done? What's your general sleep routine like?
I normally get like 7 or 8 hours sleep. It's been a bit different now with the baby. It's a bit broken and stuff, but I suppose from the outside, it looks like I just work nonstop, 24/7, all year round. But what I'm really good at having like intense months. So I'll do a really, really busy month. For example, January and February are really busy times for me. But in April, I'm taking a month off and I'm going to go back to LA and I'm going to travel a little bit of Indy and Rosie. So I'm really about lifestyle. I can't be someone who works 365 days a year flat out, because for me, there's no balance and I'll burn out pretty quickly doing that. So in terms of sleep, yeah, I mean, I go to bed about 11 o'clock and I normally get up about 7, half 7, depending on what I'm doing. If I've got like a day where I'm not doing much, I'll obviously have a little lay in, but because I've got the baby now, we're waking up a bit earlier.
Yeah, your daughter Indy was born in July last year, and as a father myself, my daughter's 4 in May. How did things change for you since then? So personally, I know how time and sleep become luxuries for the first few months as a new parent, but how did you find the first 6 months of being a new dad?
I think we got off quite easy in the first few months, because she was really, really calm, really like slept right through the night. But now it's getting to a time, we're 6 months, I think she's starting to teethe. So your whole pattern just gets thrown upside down and you think you're going to sleep for like 7 hours at night and then it's like it might be broken. So it's just you got to roll with it and be patient and not try and let it kind of stress you out, because, you know, she is going through different phases when she's growing, when she's hungrier, when she needs, you know, cuddle because she's teething. So I'm very patient with it and I just love being around her. So I kind of focus on all the positives. I try not to think of it as this really like negative cloud and it's like really difficult and tough, because the more you think that, the more it becomes that, I think.
Yeah, again, whatever you focus on tends to expand. You're doing a new thing on social that I absolutely love, your weaning15 hashtag. Can you tell everyone a little bit about that?
So weaning15 is the new hashtag for, because I'm obviously learning to wean Indy onto solid food. So it's kind of like a bit of a kind of anxious time where you're thinking, you know, this baby's just been having milk and what do I give her and is it the right food and is she going to choke and when can I move on and what foods to mix and what she can't have. So I've partnered up with a really awesome, she's a child and infant nutritionist, so she specializes in child nutrition, because I wanted to get some advice on going through that journey, and I thought that it'd be really nice to share the journey online with because I got a lot of mums and dads following me who always ask me questions about what I'm feeding Indy. And so next year I'm going to actually put together a kind of a Wean in 15 baby book aimed at babies and toddlers on just really nailing their nutrition in the first few months to get them, you know, eating vegetables and really developing their palate so that they, you know, they grow up into really healthy little children. So yeah, that's my next project, 2020 Wean in 15.
That is incredible. I can't wait for that. That is something that's going to explode, because I know when my daughter was born, that's, I would have picked that up like it had been the first thing I would have picked up. We spoke
yeah, it's
about-
fun, isn't it? I'm enjoying the weaning. It's a messy old game because she doesn't eat much at first, but it's fun. It's just seeing them try new textures and, you know, new foods and combining things. But it is, you literally like have to get them, strip them down into their nap because there's food everywhere.
That's so true. And tell me, with being a new dad, have you found that you're, in terms of time management, because you were obviously someone that's always been quite good, or at least in the last, you know, 8 years, quite good with time management. Have you had any kind of tools or tips or strategies that you've applied to make sure that you get everything done, that you're able to be home, you're able to get your workouts in, you're able to run the business, etc.? Any specific stuff you've been using time management wise that helps you stay on track or focused?
Well, one of my greatest, you know, one of my proudest things, and I'm really, really grateful for, is the fact that I kind of can decide what I do in terms of owning my own time. So I can work really hard and you know, do all the businessy stuff. I can also sit and relax and enjoy my family time. And so I'm just really good at, if I do have a trip, like I really like taking Indy and Rosie with me. But again, it's just being flexible. I might not train every day at the same time, but I'll put Indy down for a nap, or I'll come home in the evening and do a workout. So I'm still trying to kind of be present, but also get my own sort of, you know, relaxation and fitness time. Because I do find when I exercise, I'm just a way better person. I'm more productive and, you know, more just better company and, you know, more patient. So for me, I can't ever stop exercising. I need to keep it in my life. So yeah, it's just about planning and organizing your diary a little bit and taking time out to relax and not just hammering it every single day.
Do you have anything that you use in order to stay on top of what you do every day? Do you have like a daily planner that you use, or an app that you use, or is it just something that you kind of keep in your head? What do you use in order to get everything done, personal life and business life?
I just use my calendar in my phone. It's just your normal, like, you know, like Apple calendar, whatever it is. And just, yeah, I've got a shared calendar. So because my brother, Nicky, he works in my content, and my publicist, they all have access to my diary, so they can see where I am and I can add certain things. If I've got like a radio interview, then someone can kind of add it in. But yeah, I've only got, I mean, you might think I've got this massive team around me, but I've literally got my brother, Nicky, my publicist, and then my cousin, Luca, who helps with my social media. And then there's my mate, Dom, who helps with video content. And then, yeah, the rest of the staff are actually the support coaches who support people through the 90-day plan. They're the ones in the office at the HQ.
Love it. And you mentioned there about staying present. Is that something that you've always been good at, in terms of when you're working out, you're working out, when you're at work, you're at work, when you're with the family, you're with the family? Have you always been good with being present with whatever you're doing, or is that something that you've got better at over time or with age?
I definitely think I've got better at it, and I'm more aware, because I was so, in the early days of building my online community, like I was obsessed. I was, you know, I always say, like, to become a social media, whatever you want to call it, a social media, Instagram influencer, you need to be antisocial, right? So I was on my phone all the time. I was, you know, checking emails and tweeting, and just to build that community, that engagement. But now it kind of runs itself a little bit better. I don't need to be as tuned in 24/7. So I'm more conscious. Like, if I go for dinner, I'll put my phone down, I'll leave it in the car. Or if I go for a walk with Rosie, like, because otherwise I just want to take photos and do stories, and it's all part of the journey and the content of the day. And I think just relax, engage in Indy and Rosie and leave it. And so I've definitely become more conscious, because my screen time, I don't know what yours is, I don't know if you check the screen time, but I do 7 hours a day on my iPhone, which is pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah, but it adds up. It's like when you're going in and out, like, you would never think it's that until you're like, oh no, I've been seven hours on my phone.
7 hours a day looking at my phone, which is crazy. But I suppose, you know, it is part of it's my productivity, but it's also how I, you know, communicate my audience and stuff. So it is a lot of time on the phone.
Yeah, which is incredible. Like, as I remember the very first time we connected on DM on Instagram, because you're at that stage, you were still at 1.5 or 1.7 or 1.8 million followers. And I remember thinking, this is how he built his online community. I'm like, he's got millions of followers and he's replying to DMs. I was like, that's a message for anybody out there looking to build an online community. Do you have any sort of digital detox that you do then, either a day, a week, or a couple of hours? Or do you do any sort of digital detox, or do you just kind of play it by feel?
I've started actually doing that now, where I don't have my phone in my bedroom, because I used to take it up to bed. I'd be looking at it at 10:30, 11, just before bed. I'd wake up the second I woke up, before I even, you know, rolled over and said good morning to Rosie, I'd be like on my phone. So I'm now making an effort to, I leave my phone charging downstairs, and it just gives me half an hour of the day before I just get plugged in to the hard wire and the mainframe, I always say, of Instagram, because once you're plugged in, you're in for the day. So that's a good method, just to kind of have an alarm clock in your room if you need to, but just don't have your phone there. That's made a big difference for me. But I'm still very much, like you said about that message I sent you, you know, I still sit and spend like hours sending video messages and DMs and voice notes to people, because I truly value the engagement and the you being grateful for your audience. Like, you don't need to, I don't chase scale. I need 3 million, I need 4 million. It's not, I don't think like that. I just think, how can I really appreciate and engage the ones that do follow me? And by doing that, I think people stay, you know, true to your brand. And then one thing I should always recommend people to do is just never give up on that. Always keep engaging your audience.
Yeah, I think that's great for anybody listening that wants to build an online community. I think that's key, and it's practicing what you preach. And as someone that's been on the other side of that, a year and a half ago when I was talking to you on DM, I remember thinking that, and since then I literally just copied it. Like, I was like, every DM that comes in now, it's a reply. I'm like, well, if Joe's can do this at 1.5, which is now 2.5 million followers, I was like, I can reply to every DM that comes in. I'm curious,
have you noticed an impact? How much that really, really helps people though, yeah? You know, how much they value that and appreciate it.
It's unbelievable, because I remember because I love I think it's the Maya Angelou quote, that people will forget what you said and forget what you did, but they won't forget how you made them feel. And I remember the first time you replied back, because I had been following you for years. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, if you can, again, it's relative, and that building rapport with your community and genuinely just helping people by communicating back with them, I think it's incredible. Like, I literally learned that from you. So a massive thank you for that from a personal standpoint.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm glad it's working, because it does. It always means so much to people. Most people start a message to me saying, I know you won't see this, or your team's going to get this, and you know that I know you're not going to reply, but I read it, I go, right, bang, 10 second voice note. It takes me no time, and it means so much to people, they can't believe it. So yeah, I still do that even now. I'm still doing that every day of the week.
It's incredible. I love that. You're experimenting with ice. Did I see your cold shower this morning? Is that a new thing that you're building into your morning routine?
So I went to Dublin. I did a little press trip, and I went to the Happy Pear in Greystones, and I swam in the sea with them, and it was so cold, but I actually like felt really great afterwards. So I got up this morning, and I sort of thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it a go, because people like Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss all talk about the cold water immersion and just doing that in the morning, because it snaps you into, like, it just wakes you up, and it's something you can't explain. But anyway, so I did it. I ran the tap for like about 45 seconds to a minute and jumped in there, and it was absolutely freezing, but it did. It kind of, your skin, it does sense your skin and your head and your energy and your alertness. And so I'm not saying I'm going to do it every day, but I'm definitely going to try and do it a few times a week. It did feel good.
Yeah, I saw that picture with the Happy Pear. I had them on the podcast a couple of months ago. I absolutely love those guys. They're incredible. They have an amazing energy.
Yeah, they're two of the nicest guys, and they're just as genuine as they are in real life, you know. And they got that amazing community. Have you been to their cafe?
Yeah, that's where we actually recorded the podcast, in their cafe, and it's like the best place I've ever eaten. Like, it's so
just
good.
The happiest place. It's like the happiest place on earth. Everybody's so kind and friendly, that they've really built something truly unique there, you know. And I just think, yeah, I'm so glad I connected with them. They're really good dudes. So if you ever get down there to Greystones, pop into the Happy Pear and pay them a visit.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's coming from my side as well. What about your training then, Joe? What's your schedule? I know it can vary depending on where you are in the world. Do you train in the morning, in the afternoons, in the evening, or whenever you get a time to fit it in? What do you normally do, and what's your kind of physical preference?
So I train for about between 30 and 45 minutes a day, probably like 5 days a week. But it could be anything from like jumping on my Peloton and doing a spin class, or doing treadmill sprints or bodyweight circuit. I've got like a few dumbbells and I've got a pull-up bar and a TRX. So I really mix up. I don't have much structure. I just kind of see how I feel in the morning. If I feel like doing weights, I'll do some weights. If I feel like doing a hit, it all depends. Or sometimes I'll just do a low-intensity cycle, you know, while I'm replying to DMs on Instagram. So it really depends how I'm feeling. But if I'm busy filming content, like for YouTube, I may have to film like two or three workouts a day. And them days are really exhausting because I'll do like three or four 15-minute hits in a day, which you know, and I do train really hard on those videos. So that wears me out a bit.
Yeah, you were one of the first people that I saw that actually took people through the workout with you. I know that a lot of people on Instagram 5-6 years ago, they would put up videos or clips or whatever it was, and you were doing the full-blown workout, which I think connected more, because when you could see that you were struggling, you're like, okay, I don't feel too bad. Joe's struggling and he's fitter than I am. So I think that's always a good thing. Do you have any preference workouts that you go to, like any particular hit that you love to do regularly or Tabata intervals or anything that you're kind of would lean towards if you're just not feeling it on a certain day? You're like, I'll do this workout. Anyone that springs to mind?
I suppose if I'm trying to get super fit and lean, like and drop body fat, I always find that just doing like outdoor hill sprints.
Where do you have a preference? Do you do them locally?
I've got some good park, yeah, good hills in Richmond Park, so I do that, or I do them on the treadmill. But I do love bodyweight circuits, so I like being able to do like press ups and pull ups and dips and things where I'm doing full, you know, big compound moves. So that's probably what I tend to do most of.
And you, I know you have a brand new range of supplements with MyProtein at the minute, but do you have one or two staple supplements, like ones that you use nearly every day?
So things I use omega-3 fish oils and a multivitamin. That's like a supplement that I use. And then in terms of, I use probably whey protein like twice a day. I normally have, I'll have it in my overnight oats, or I'll have it in my protein pancakes, and I'll have like a scoop in a post-workout shake. So they're the three things I rely on mainly.
Yeah, I think solid staples there. Joe, as someone that's in the public spotlight like you are, you're going to have a certain amount of like negativity aimed in your direction. And to be honest, I always struggle to see how people could dislike you. Like, your message is so positive. You put out more free content than anyone, and you're clearly just doing your thing. But I think having 2.5 million plus followers on Instagram, not to mention your other channels, a certain amount of negativity is inevitable. How do you handle any negativity that comes your way? Do you have any strategies or tools that help you deal with it, or how do you handle it?
I used to take it personally. I used to get a bit upset and think it was, you know, I didn't understand why, and I just thought, why can't people? Because I think people either love me or hate me. They think that I've done really well and they're inspired and think, you know, what a great dude. He smashed it. He's worked hard. And then there's the other side of it. And it's normally the fitness industry who think he got lucky. He's an idiot. He's, you know, he's not scientifically backed and all the kind of things around the calorie counting. But, you know, I do believe that, you know, majority of people don't need to be worrying about counting calories. And that's the reason I think I've got so many followers, because my message isn't about tracking and counting and getting all complicated and confusing with it. But, you know, as I said, like, it used to kind of get to me, but now I know it's out there because I get tagged in it. And, you know, I just think, well, I just kind of look the other way really, and don't, I try and just focus on what I'm doing. And I really believe in positivity and being, you know, always focusing on the good in people. So I never respond. I never reply to it. I just kind of see it. I know it's there. And then I just sort of look away and just carry on with my mission really.
Do you, when that comes in and you get tagged and stuff like that, do you literally just put it out of your mind, or do you talk to the people around you if it's bothering you or on your chest, or is it at the stage where it literally just washes over you now?
Yeah, it doesn't affect me anymore because it's the same people saying the same stuff over again, and I kind of think, oh, all right, well, that's just your angle. And I just, like I said, yeah, I just kind of, I see it and then I just think, no, I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm not going to kind of retaliate or reply. And that's the best way to do it, because I'm too positive to worry about it and to get into arguments with people. And like I said, if people read my books, they'd understand my mission and my philosophy, and they wouldn't start saying all this stuff about me. So I've been saying the same thing for the past 5 years. My mission, my philosophy hasn't changed. It's just people just take things out of context and, you know, want to make stories and Instagram posts about you. But like I said, I believe in my mission. I believe what I'm doing is the right thing, and I'm helping people get in shape. So that's, I think it's way easier to just focus on that than sit there getting upset and, you know, in a negative headspace about people that don't like you, because not everyone's going to love you. I know that, you know, the same with TV chefs or, you know, people on in the media. No one's going to like everything you say.
Yeah, I think, again, one of the messages my mum used to always tell me, that you're not everyone's cup of tea, but you're someone's shot of whiskey. And I think that really, really helps with dealing with any sort of negativity aimed in your direction. And it's relative. You know, there's people listening that, you know, don't have 2.5 million followers on Instagram, but they're dealing with negativity coming from somewhere. And was that a learned approach then, Joe, where you learned to kind of ignore it? Or was it from experience that you were engaging in back and forth with people when you were coming up and then realized, right, I'm ignoring it now? Or is that something that you've done all the way through, where you just kind of turn the other cheek with it?
Yeah, I've never engaged in any kind of, because the majority of the sentiment on my channels is positive, you know, because it's people that really love what you're doing, and, you know, they'll be following because they've chosen to follow you. But for example, when I did a TV show, like, people, like, they're not looking for you, and they don't necessarily want to see you. So that's when you start getting, you know, mean tweets and stuff. But I just laugh at it. Most of it's, I want people to be inspired by me. And whenever I look at someone who's done really well, like, whether it's an entrepreneur or someone who's successful, I always just think, how have they done that? And how can I do more of that? How can I model myself on some of the things they've done? So I think when people attack me, I think they're really inspired by what I've done, but it manifests, and they think, I'd like to do that, you know, and I'd like to achieve what he's achieved. So it's just about reframing your mindset and actually taking it and seeing it as a positive, and not, like, yeah, not hating on people. Because it won't get you anywhere.
Yeah, you mentioned the success of people that, you know, that the way that you see it and you're inspired and look up to them. Is there any people that come to mind that you follow or look up to that, when you think of the word successful, their face or name comes to mind?
I love a success story. Like, I listen to a lot of podcasts around entrepreneurs and, you know, success stories, and I get inspired by people like Gary Vee and Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss and, you know, Joe Rogan or The Rock, just people that are, like, positive and just kind of putting out a good message and stuff. But ultimately, you know, there's people all around that are inspiring. But in terms of the fitness industry, people can be quite, you know, negative and attacking each other. And I always just say, like, if you stick together and you collaborate, you'll get a lot further. And I'm very much a collaborative person. So I'd rather people say to me, oh, like, you, I'm collaborating with you because I see the positive in it. I see this as a positive thing. Like, you've got a nice message, you're a positive guy, and we have a good conversation going. And I think people should reach out, you know, rather than attack you, because you'd get much further in your business and your career if you did that.
Oh, yeah, I think that's it for anybody listening. I think that's if you take nothing home from the message in terms of growing your, say, personal brand or whatever it is you're trying to do, spread the message to make the world a little bit better because you're here. Collaborating is the way to do it. And because anyone that has a positive message, it's, you know, for the two people that don't know who you are listening to this, I'm like, go follow Joe's stuff. Like, if you're not one of the 2.5 million, go follow his stuff. Like, it's amazing message, great content. And as I said, honestly, I have always struggled to see the negativity in your direction, but people doing better than you never tend to look back and aim any hate. It's always people looking up, and there's some form of projection going on there, I'm sure. You mentioned podcasts there. Am I right in saying that three or four you're subscribed to is Joe Rogan, Gary Vee, Tim Ferriss?
Yeah, and I really like, there's a podcast I listen to called How I Built This, which is about, it's like entrepreneurs. So people from, like, startups to big companies like Uber and Airbnb and stuff. It's a really good podcast. If you're someone who's studying business, so he's into business, or just learning about, you know, success stories that have come from nothing, check it out. It's called How I Built This. You'll love it.
Absolutely love that podcast. That was one recommended by the Happy Pair as well, the day they were on, actually.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Would I be right in saying then, if you listen to podcasts, do you consume audiobooks? Would that be a way you would consume, or do you physically read? What's your favorite way of consuming, say, books or information like that?
I wish I read more, really. I really do. I wish I sat and read more. I do. When I'm on holiday, I always take a book. I like reading autobiographies. So the last book I read was, the Bruce Springsteen autobiography, and I read Andre Agassi. He's got a great autobiography as well. So just different kind of athletes and sports people or businessmen. But I'm not, I just wish I wish I did more. I'm quite busy, so I never really sit down to read. But yeah, I should try out audiobooks, because a lot of people say that's quite a good way of consuming books nowadays.
Yeah, particularly I think if you listen to podcasts. It's nice. It's quite an easy transition. You know, I get through 2-3 audiobooks a week because of you either listen to it during cardio or runs or commuting or cooking food. And each book's about 6 or 7 hours. So you're getting through a couple a week by just killing dead time. You don't have much dead time, but the dead time that you might have in terms of workouts, etc. Yeah, it's a really effective way. I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah, definitely. I'll get on that.
With that being said, you mentioned autobiographies there and sports people. What way do you consume information then in terms of, you're clearly someone that's so intelligent and smart in what you're doing. How do you consume information? Is it by literally just passively following business people and sports people and then taking their message? Or do you watch a lot of YouTube videos, or do you consume like an ungodly amount of podcasts? How do you consume information to consistently keep moving your knowledge forward in all the areas of your life?
It's a combination really of like online articles and blogs and other people online. But I suppose there's no one source really. I can be inspired by like an article on BBC News or, you know, a documentary that I watch on Netflix. So it all depends, but I'm so focused on what I'm doing that I don't really get distracted. I just know that the mission I'm on is I want to get every single child in England healthier and fitter and active. I want to get mums and dads all over the country, you know, eating well, exercising. And because I always just come back to that, I think, is this content and what I'm about to do, or this deal I'm about to do with Gusto or with my protein, is it going to really achieve that? And then that's how I'm here for a mission which is longer than just a 2 or 3 year thing. You know, like I really want to be around in years to come, and I believe that longevity is important when you're in the media, because you can be suddenly really uncool and unpopular if you do the wrong things. But I just come back to the mission, and I'm passionate about it, and I think that's going to continue.
I think that segues perfectly into my next question, which is, what are you specifically most excited about right now?
The thing I'm most excited about is the kind of the project I'm working on with schools, which is I've been doing these live workouts called Schools Fitness Week on YouTube, where I do a live workout and I stream it to all the schools, live schools all around the country, and people in Dubai and Scandinavia and Ireland all take part. And so that is the next thing for me. I want to keep pushing that and growing that, and I'm hoping that it potentially could become a TV show, but if it doesn't, you know, I'll still continue to do the online thing, because I just think we need to really, really get our kids exercising. The, you know, the obesity thing and the mental health thing that's coming around, you know, children exercising less and being so attached to our devices, that someone's got to disrupt that and try and make a difference, you know, because if a child doesn't exercise when they're a kid or a teenager, they're going to be a sedentary adult. It's very difficult to get them into it later on in life.
I'm curious, because it makes so much sense how you're reverse engineering the people that you're working with now and trying to hit it at the source. What planted the seed for that? What was there a moment or a school that you visited, or just did something happen that planted the seed for you wanting to hit it from that direction?
I went back to visit my old primary school just to test it, to see if see if kids would respond well, and if the children would like to exercise and how they react to a workout in their school hall. And I just thought it was amazing. I just realized that, and the anecdotal evidence we got from people saying that their children were more, you know, more productive and more focused and more alert, that I believe that exercise makes a child smarter. Like, I truly believe that, because for me, if I hadn't exercised as a kid, I was very distracted. I wasn't very good academically, but I always used fitness and PE as a subject that's super motivating. And I was really, really, it just kept me kind of grounded and alert and kept me as a better student, I think. So, yeah, I just think I've got an opportunity to reach children, and no one else is doing it, or no one else is doing it on a scale that I can do it. So I should give it a go and see if I can make an impact. Oh, that's my legacy. I think in 20 years or 10 years time, you'll say, you won't remember how many books I sold or how many online plans I sold. You'll say, that Joe Wicks, you know, that's the guy that got all our, you know, the kids of England exercising and got them all fit. And that's what I really want to be remembered for.
You mentioned legacy, and something you've said several times here is your mission, and I connect with that on so many different levels. Was that personality type, that ambition, something that you've always had, or is it something that's grown over the years as your profile has increased? Or have you always known that you were meant for more and that you had a mission to make the world better because you were here? How did that spawn, or how has that evolved over time? Or is it something that's always been there, it's just been dormant and now it's awake?
I think my ambition has come from, well, if I think back to when I started, like I kind of thought, right, if I can have a boot camp business and have a little franchise going on and 10 locations, you know, that was the dream for me. That was like the ultimate goal. So because I never had like a master plan, or you know, I didn't have a big marketing vision that I was going to build up an audience and sell books and plans and get all this TV stuff. It was more like I just genuinely loved what I was doing, and so as I've achieved more, I've become more ambitious. So you know, I did the Guinness World Record, or I got a book deal, and I got a TV thing. I think, wow, like, I can really do good things, and it makes you become, the more you achieve, the more ambitious you become, I think.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense, as you said, because the goal change and the bar moves as things start to progress and take off. I'm going to take a slightly different direction now with some other questions, so feel free to expand on them or answer them however you see fit. When I say the word successful, what personality trait or characteristic comes to mind and why?
I think self-belief is such an important part of like any whether it's a business or in relationships or with work or you know your fitness goals. You need to have self-belief, because the minute you doubt yourself, the minute you think you're not going to achieve your goal, then you just won't. And so when everyone around you saying don't do that, stay in your lane, you know, like for me, like they were saying stop doing your Lean in 15 videos, you're really annoying, why are you doing it, get back to your boot camp, I never listened to those people. I just thought, I believe what I'm doing is good, I believe that I'm impacting people's lives. And because of that self-belief, I was just unfazed and so determined to just keep doing it. And then because of that, I've achieved success within the fitness industry. But yeah, I'd say self-belief. I didn't just become a success overnight by doing like one recipe a week or, you know, one video every 6 months. I consistently put content out every day. I'm doing stories, you know, every day I did a recipe, and I do one YouTube workout a week. I'm just so consistent in my actions. And I always bring it back to, it's if I've got a heavy week of promotion, let's say I'm promoting my new book, and it's very much, you know, sign up, you know, get my new book, pre-order this, I always follow it with a wave of free content. So I did a really awesome challenge in December. It's called the 28 Days of Sweat Challenge. So it means that people that don't want to buy a book or don't want to be sold to, they've got something free and something really engaging and useful. They can say, you know what, he has promoted his book, but I'll let him get away with it, because now I know there's all this other free content that I don't need to buy. I don't need to give him any money for. So that is what I really love about free content, is you can give people stuff any time of the week on any platform that they can kind of engage with and use. And then one day, you know, they're going to turn around and say, I'm super fit, I'm really happy, and it was all free. And that's a really powerful thing, I think.
Yeah, it comes back to impact and legacy and your mission, and very much mapping your actions to your ambition. You mentioned there, say, the boot camps, but this may be a different experience or circumstance that comes to mind. But do you have a favorite failure of yours? So, for example, one that planted the seed for a future success. So either a venture that you did, words that came in your direction when people were telling you not to do something, or any particular favorite failure that later set you up for success.
I think one of my biggest fears was when I used to think about doing like live TV or radio or cooking live demos and things, because the first few times I did it, I just, you know, I was really nervous. I kind of choked. I didn't know what to say. And because when you're cooking and trying to talk at the same time. So I think by exposing myself to those things, by fearing it, but actually going and say, I'm going to do it. Like I gave Sunday brunch a go, or, you know, this morning and Good Morning Britain and things like that. I just, the more I did it, the more confident I got. So I think one thing, you should don't let your fears of it going wrong, like cripple and paralyze you from ever doing it, because then you just won't ever build the confidence. So it's kind of like face your fears, expose yourself to the nerves, and when you get through it, you'll become a much better person for it, and you'll have a lot more confidence, you know, when it comes to either filming or putting yourself out there on, you know, whether it's YouTube or Facebook, because people are so nervous about the criticism they may face or it going wrong, and the people, you know, negative comments and feedback, so they'll never do it. And so it's kind of like, just believe in yourself, give it a go, and face your fears of it.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in the acronym for fear as false evidence appearing real. Do you still feel that fear when you do certain new ventures, or is it something now that has been just turns into excitement, or do you still feel the fear? It may not even be in a work related thing. Do you still find yourself regularly attacking those fears, or have they largely been overcome now?
I suppose everything I do, I want to be a success. So, you know, the thing with my protein, I really want it to be a success. But I also know that's a long-term partnership that might take years to build. And the thing with Gusto, I'm doing these recipe boxes with Gusto. Of course, I'm like, how are my audience going to respond? Because, you know, people don't like you doing too well. They like you doing well, but they don't like you doing, you know, brand deals or, you know, opportunities to build other companies, because people just don't like seeing it. So they'll call you a sellout. But, you know, what people don't know is I had a really big deal with a supermarket, which I turned down because the products they wanted to release were like ready meals and, you know, fast food, convenience food and microwave dinners. And so I walked away from that deal because it wasn't part of my mission. I've been telling people for 5 years, like, guys, you can cook, you can get in the kitchen. And so Gusto is a completely different offering because you still get to cook a recipe. They just deliver you the recipe card and the ingredients. So I kind of made that decision, and I'm so glad because the response has been great. And I truly believe that, you know, Gusto and like the recipe boxes is such a great solution for people that are busy. And I'm really proud that I made that decision because I walked away from a deal which obviously would have been lucrative, but it would not have worked. It would not have been right decision. And it was going against everything I've been saying for the past 5 years.
Yeah, you mentioned Gusto there and your MyProtein deal, etc. You obviously have so many opportunities coming your way. What's your filtering process for deciding who you work with or what companies you connect yourself with? What's your main kind of filtering process for deciding who it is that you affiliate with or associate with?
It just has to be part of the mission. It's just, if I think, is this something that people are genuinely believing and people could, it's going to help them get healthier or fitter. And I've been using my protein for years. I've been an affiliate with them for ages, so I've always had it on the plan. But that we actually set up a new brand together, so it's the Body Coach range. And you know, I'm not saying it. I don't think you should have supplements all day, every day, and replace food. But you know, having a bit of whey protein in your shake or your oats and your pancakes is fine. It's like it's a good thing to have as a little extra supplement. So you know, I believe these things will help, like to health and fitness. But you know, the Gusto thing is a good example of families are busier. We don't have time to cook. It's stressful. And so if you can get a really awesome box of food delivered to your door and it's going to get you cooking healthier, I have no doubt in my mind. The day I announced that, I'm proud of it. I believe in it. And so it's easy for me to do. If I had gone into the supermarket and said, hey guys, I've got these new ready meals, you know, lean in 15 microwave dinners, I would have died inside. I would have been so upset. So I didn't do it. You know what I mean? And I don't regret it. I'm not ever going to look back and regret that decision. And I'm more proud of the things that I've actually turned down and the things that I've done. Do you know what I mean? I've so much money flying around with these brand deals. It's a joke. The companies weren't willing to throw money for you to sponsor all these products. And I say no all the time, honestly. Hundreds of thousands of pounds a year I turn down.
Yeah, that's not surprising. When you mention your mission so much, and I can see it from your content that you put out, that that's obviously your North Star and your driving force. And you mentioned something there that's very, that I just want to pull out for everybody listening. You said that you would never look back and regret not doing that, or that if you had the ready meals like that, you'd look back and regret that in years' time. I think using that as a gut check is a very effective way at making decisions in any area of your life. What would you regret more, you know, on your deathbed? Like, I think going through life, making decisions like that can make sure that you're going to be a success in whatever it is that you do for everybody listening. With that, another question, slightly different. Is there a purchase of £100 or less that's most positively affected your life in the last 12 or 18 months? Now, I know you get, as an influencer, you get a lot of stuff for free, so it may have been something you were sent, but is there anything that you've had or invested in over the last 12 months that's had a great or massive impact in your life?
That's a good question. Let me think about that. See, I'm currently learning guitar, so I'm playing the guitar. That's my kind of new passion. I really love learning like an instrument, or whether it's a language or an instrument. So that's kind of, but that's a bit more than £100 that purchase. So, oh, that's a quick, tricky one. I'm not a big consumer. Like, even though I could buy things I like, I never really want stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't ever think, oh, I really want to go and buy that, or I need to get another one of them. I'm not like a collector of things. You know what I mean? So it's a bit difficult, that question. Quite boring, really.
I'll take the guitar. I think that's pretty solid. That says a lot about you in terms of creativity and trying to just improve. Because are you musical? Have you played instruments your life, or is this something, a new venture that you're kind of just doing for yourself?
I bought a guitar like a few years ago, but I never really picked it up. And then I thought, I'm going to try electric guitar. So I bought it for Christmas and I just love it. Like, I'm playing every day, like at least an hour a day. And it's amazing how quickly you can learn, and it's just nice. So rather than watch Netflix or do you know, social media for an hour, I put it down and I just play the guitar, and it's just a nice relaxing kind of moment of the day where, yeah, I'm learning a new skill. And it's something really, really powerful about just learning something new. Like, it's a sense of satisfaction that you don't get from anything else. So yeah, I highly recommend it, learning an instrument, and if you can, learn a language to go traveling with.
Yeah, I love that. You mentioned Netflix there. Do you have a particular favorite Netflix series that jumps to mind when someone mentions Netflix to you?
I'm really into like the crime stuff. So we listen to like the Ted Bundy tapes and Staircase and all those, you know, like murder mystery ones and stuff. They're quite interesting. But and there's also a really good there's one called Chef's Table on Netflix, which is about like going to really awesome restaurants around the world where they like make, you know, the really good like either mozzarella or amazing pizzas and things. So yeah, that's probably my favorite, the Chef's Table.
Yeah, I think I had Dr. Rupi on, Doctor's Kitchen, on recently. I think he mentioned that at Netflix as well. If I'm not mistaken, that was one of the shows he mentioned to go check out.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Really, really well shot. Like, it's so good.
Next question. If you were given, I'm very conscious of your time, so last two. If you were given the chance to live one day in the life of somebody else, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it? Now I play the guitar, I think if I could come back as like a really awesome musician that was like playing in front of like hundreds of thousands of people. So I'd probably come back as someone like Jimi Hendrix, who's one of the greatest guitarists ever. So yeah, I'd want to come back Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock, just shredding up the guitar, just to see what that feels like to be able to do that and have like hundreds of thousands of people cheering and singing your songs.
That's amazing. I got a great visual when you said that. Last one. If you got the chance to post one message, thought, or quote on social media that would reach everyone in the Western world, what would it be?
It would be, this is my kind of my philosophy, and I ended this on the graduation speech that at St. Mary's. It's work hard, have fun, but be nice.
An incredible message. Joe, acknowledgement to you, I've been someone that's been following you for years, and my audience know how big of a fan I am of yours, because I'm one of those that sees the inspiration in what you do. And I just want to thank you publicly for all the content you put out, the books that you put out, the amount of good that you're doing the world. It's just incredible. Can you tell everybody where is the best place to find out more about you, the social media platforms you spend the most time on, and where they can pick up the new book and all the other books?
Well, firstly, mate, I just want to say a massive thank you for that. And, you know, that message you've just said and reaching out. And it's just nice to meet other people who are inspired and who are on a positive mission, and I really enjoyed the chat. And so thanks again for having me on, and keep doing your thing. And secondly, yeah, if you want to find out more, I've got the website, thebodycoach.com, and all my Instagram and Twitter and Facebook is The Body Coach. I've got, loads of videos on there and workouts and recipes. So hopefully you'll find it inspiring. But man, it's been so great talking to you. I hope we meet one day in real life when I come to Ireland.
Yeah, 100%. That'll be amazing. It's on my list.
Get a workout in together. Yeah, you can put me through a workout.
Sounds great. I look forward to it. And for everybody listening, I will link up Joe's thebodycoach.com in the show notes. I'll link up the new book and all the other books. Everything will be in the show notes on briankeenfitness.com. And Joe, I cannot thank you so much again. And I look forward to that workout in the near future.
Thanks, mate. Take it easy, dude. See ya.